There is something that children ages 2 to 3 love to do. They love to ask why. They especially love to ask their parents why. For example, a mom might say, put away your toys, it's time for supper. And the child will say, why? And the mother will say, well, because we're hungry. And the child will say, why? And the mother will say, because we haven't eaten for about 6 hours. And the child will say, why? Dr. Alan Green is a medical doctor. He's a pediatrician. He treats children. He is also an author. He is also an international TED Talk speaker. And he is a global health advocate. And he is also, some of you may know him because he's sort of on a crusade right now. He's on a crusade to try to get obstetricians, doctors who deliver babies, not to clamp the umbilical cord immediately when the baby is delivered, but to wait at least 90 seconds. Because Dr. Green says at birth, a baby, one-third of that baby's blood is outside his body. And so if the doctor waits about 90 seconds, then more of the red blood cells and white blood cells, more blood to his body. And so he has more of the things he needs, including iron. So he's been on a campaign to try to get doctors to wait at least 90 seconds before they clamp the baby's umbilical cord. But Dr. Green is not only concerned in the physical health of children, he's also concerned with their emotional, their psychological health. And he has, for the last 2 or 3 years, been studying why children ask why. And he found from his studies that when a child uses the word why, that child is not using that word the way we use that word. When we use the word why, we're thinking of causation. We want to know the cause. If somebody says, I'm so unhappy today, we say why, because we want to know what has caused this, because we think we might be able to help them. We might be able to fix things. If the electricity goes off, we say why. We want to know the cause so that we can figure out how to fix it. But Dr. Green says that is not what a child is concerned about when that child asks why. When a mother wakes up a child in the morning and says, we need to dress you warmly today because it's cold outside, the child says, why? What the child is really saying, according to Dr. Green, is this. The child is saying, Mom, what you just said to me is very interesting. Let's talk about it together. And Dr. Green says, when he has answered children and he's talked to thousands of children, he says, when he answers a child who has a why question and he answers with one of those logical causation answers, the child is always dissatisfied. But when he uses that child's why question as an invitation to sit down and talk with the child about whatever it was that raised the question, then he says the child is enthralled. Today we are baptizing two individuals. And when we come to a service like this, it's very natural for us to ask why, because baptism is so different. We don't do this every Sunday, and it's so strange what we do, dunking people underneath the water and then having them stand up with their hair soaking wet. It's just strange. So why do we do it? Why do we baptize people? Why should we get baptized? So today, like a toddler, I want to ask the question why, but I'm not asking it because I'm looking for the logical cause for why we baptize people. I'm asking this question because I want it to be an invitation for us to think about and talk about baptism, because you see, I believe that we baptize people not only because we have a logical reason, a logical cause for doing so. I think the reason we baptize people is because baptism is a window into what the Christian life is all about. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We don't have just one text today as we normally do. We have many. And so we're not going to read a text right now at the beginning. I'm not going to announce the scripture reference, but we will look at some verses in just a little bit. But before we go any further, would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we come to you today, and we're baptizing two individuals today. We're so thankful for that, but we believe that baptism has a lot to teach us about the Christian life, and we want to know what your word has to say. So Holy Spirit, you authored the word, you inspired it. We ask you to open our hearts and minds to hear from you and to receive what you desire to teach us today. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask it. Amen. So, why do we baptize people? Well, first, we get baptized because the church has been commanded by Jesus to baptize those who become his followers. And you know the text. It's the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. But in verse 19, Jesus says this, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Now, that's the immediate answer, and that's really the logical causation for baptism. Why do we baptize people? Because Jesus commanded us to. But there's more to it than this. For example, Jesus not only gave us a command, he also gave us an example. He not only commanded us to baptize, he also gave us an example. And it's found in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Mark says, at that time, and by the way, this is the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. I mean, we are just 9 verses into the gospel when Mark tells us this. At the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus was baptized, and he gave us his baptism as an example for us to follow. You know, there are many things Jesus invites us to join him in doing. He did them first, and then he invites us to follow him. For example, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says to us, "Let your light shine before men." Let your light shine before the world. Did Jesus do that? Of course he did. Gospel of John says Jesus is the light of the world. Everywhere he went, he was shining the light of God's glory, the light of God's grace. He asks us to join him in doing that. Jesus also asked us to honor God's word, to obey his commands. Did Jesus do that? Yes. Again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I always do the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus said, "I always obey God's commands. I always do God's word." He invites us to join with him in doing that. And then Jesus also tells us that we are to love our enemies. Did Jesus do that? Yes. As he hung on the cross, he looked at the people who put him there, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus had no enemies, except for one. His only enemy was the God of this world, the one the Bible calls Satan, the one the Bible calls the devil. That was the only enemy of Jesus. Even people who made themselves the enemies of Jesus, Jesus did not see them as his enemies because Jesus died for every man, woman, and child who has ever lived on this planet. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. He did it, and he invites us to join him in doing that. Not only that, but Jesus invites us to become servants. Many places in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says to the disciples, "You have not been called to be big shots. You have not been called to be the people at the top of the pyramid. You've been called to be on the bottom." But then Jesus said, "Remember, the last will be first, and the first will be last." Jesus said to his disciples, "You are to serve." And did Jesus himself serve? Oh, yes. Mark 10:45. We're told that Jesus did not come to this world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus served, and Jesus invites us to join him in doing that. So many of the things that Jesus commanded us to do were the very things that he was doing himself. And that, by the way, is the mark of a great leader. It's the mark of an effective leader. An effective leader does not ask his followers or her followers to do anything that he or she would not be willing to do. A good leader doesn't say, do this and do that. A good leader says, follow me in doing this or doing that. And if we ask why Jesus wants us to do the things that he did, the answer is pretty obvious, right? The Bible says that Jesus did what was pleasing to God the Father. When Jesus was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. Not just pleased, but well pleased. So if you and I have the desire to please God, to live a life pleasing to God, there is nothing better we could ever do than to copy Jesus, to join him in doing the very things that he did in this life. But I believe there is still something else here. There is something more here, and it has to do with our relationship with Jesus. It's hard to be a friend with someone if we do not do any of the same things that our friend is doing. We have to do the same things. Friends have activities in common. They do things together. They do the same things. And I believe Jesus wants his followers to do the things that he did, to join him in doing those things. And there is nothing more important that Jesus did in the very beginning of his ministry than to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. And let me just remind you how significant it is that Mark tells us it was the very beginning of his ministry that Jesus was baptized. See, I think that's the pattern for us. We are to be baptized at the very beginning of our Christian life. If you look in the book of Acts, you will find that just about everybody who was baptized in Acts was baptized within 24 hours of making that decision to follow Jesus, to believe in Jesus. Now, it doesn't always turn out that way, and today many people wait, but I believe the pattern is for us to be baptized as soon as we can after becoming believers in Jesus, because what Jesus did was to be baptized at the very beginning of his ministry. And so we get baptized not just to obey Jesus, as important as that is, but we get baptized because it helps us to identify with Jesus. It helps us to bond with him. It helps us to get closer to him. So when we get baptized, we know we're doing what Jesus did. We know we're walking in his footsteps. And so baptism really is a window into what the Christian life is all about. Because that's what we're called to do as believers in Jesus. We're called to walk with him. We're called to follow him. We're called to take the steps that he took one after another. That's what the Christian life is all about. And then second, we get baptized to lift up the name of Jesus. We get baptized to lift up the name of Jesus. Now, baptism connects us to Jesus in several ways. We've looked at the first two. First of all, Jesus commanded us to be baptized. So to obey that commandment is certainly to be connected to him. Second, Jesus gave us the example of being baptized. So when we get baptized, we're following in his footsteps. But then thirdly, there's something else. When Jesus commanded us to baptize all his followers, he said this in Matthew 28:19, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So when we get baptized, we're getting baptized in the name of Jesus. It's another way baptism connects us to Jesus. We are getting baptized in his name. Now, there are some people who don't do that. And according to an article, a recent article in USA Today, baptisms are on the decline in the United States, especially those baptisms that are carried out in the name of Jesus. There are people who like the idea of being baptized. They don't want to be connected with an individual or a religion, and so they do it without that. In this article, they introduce they introduce us to this woman. Her name is Reverend Emma Drouillard, and she has a service which is called Ceremony Way, and she will conduct a service for you, a service of baptism that does not even mention the name of Jesus. And so according to this article, she baptized the daughter of Kirsten and Farnham Smith. And by the way, that's not their real name, so don't send them cards or letters when I tell you this. But she baptized the little girl of this couple. And this couple, who lives in Marin County, California, they said they grew up in the Presbyterian Church. But they said, for our daughter, we want to practice Christianity Light. L-I-T-E. Christianity Light, which I suppose is the opposite of Christianity Heavy or Christianity Deep or whatever. And they said to this lady who baptized their daughter that their daughter believes in angels and fairies, leprechauns and Santa Claus, but apparently not Jesus. And her parents said this, "We just wanted a larger spirit to guide our daughter, but we didn't want to get specific." You see, baptism gets very specific. You cannot be baptized without drawing attention to Jesus. It's not possible, because Jesus is the one who commanded us to be baptized. No one else did. Jesus is the one who was baptized as our example, so we would follow him. No one else did. And Jesus is the one who receives glory and honor, because when we are baptized, we're baptized into his very name. We're baptized in the name of Jesus. You can't do baptism without drawing attention to Jesus. And when we are baptized today, it is done to bring glory and honor to his name. There are many people in our world today who want baptism without Jesus. But you can't do that, because baptism is designed to lift up and to glorify the name of Jesus, also the name of God and the Holy Spirit. But you can't have baptism without glorifying the name of Jesus. We are baptized to give glory to Christ. And guess what? That's what the Christian life is all about. We are called to draw attention to Jesus, and we're called to give glory and honor to his name. So again, baptism is a window into what the Christian life is all about. And then third, we are baptized as a way of saying that Jesus has washed away our guilt and shame. We get baptized as a way of telling people that Jesus has washed away our guilt and shame. Now, to get incredibly simple, you and I do something just about every day. We immerse ourselves in water. To do what? To get clean. Some people do that to play with their rubber ducks, but most people do it in order to get clean. But it's not physical dirt that we're washing away or that is being washed away. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual dirt. We're talking about a spiritual cleansing. The Bible says we have all done wrong. We have all disobeyed God. We have all broken his commandments. We have all acted in selfish and self-centered ways. We've all hurt other people. We have done things we greatly regret. And there have been things we should have done that we didn't do. We are not perfect in God's eyes. We're not even clean in God's eyes. There are many things in our life that bring corruption, that bring filth into our life. There are thoughts we think in our mind that we wouldn't want anybody to know we think about. But God knows, and God sees. And so baptism is a way to tell people how we have been cleaned, how we have been washed, how we have been made acceptable by God. And it's not baptism that cleans us. There are some people who make that mistake. Baptism doesn't clean, but baptism gives us the opportunity to tell people how we have been cleaned. So, for example, when we got, and I didn't tell you this, the word baptize means to immerse in water or to wash. But again, We're talking about being washed spiritually. And so, to be washed, we are not, when we get baptized, we're not saying this is how you get clean, but we're telling people how it is that you can get clean. When we're taken down beneath the waters of baptism, that represents death. And I say this every time we baptize people, but I'm going to say it again. If you don't believe that baptism is a great picture of death, then I challenge you to stick your head underwater and keep it there for 10 minutes. And then we will have your funeral service. And if your spirit is still hovering near the place, you'll say, yep, he was right. Baptism is a great picture of death. We go down beneath the water. The water symbolizes death. The waters, the cold waters of death. And that reminds us that it was Jesus who died for us. He endured not only physical death, he endured spiritual death on our behalf. And then when we're raised up out of the water, that represents the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died in our place for all our wrongdoing, and God accepted his death as the substitute for us. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was God's way of saying, it works. What Jesus did for you works. And now when you put your faith and trust in him, you are cleansed. You have new life. And everything is right between us and God. We have a relationship with God. And so when people get baptized, it's their way of saying, when we get baptized, it's our way of saying, I expect to see God one day. I expect to be in heaven for all eternity, not because I'm trying to be a good person. Oh, I still hear people say that. You say to them, what's your relationship with God? Oh, listen, I'm doing the best I can to live a good life. It's not what I asked. Do you know God? Is Jesus in your life? Listen, I do everything I can to live the kind of life I think God would want. That's not what I asked. Do you know Jesus Christ as he washed away all the guilt and shame of your life? The Bible says something that we should never forget, a verse that ought to be committed to memory for every one of us. In 1 John 1:7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is the blood of Christ that he poured out when he died, that washes us, that makes us clean, that enables us to stand before God, accepted by him, declared just, declared to be saved, declared to be one who is a child of God. It's the blood of Christ, his cleansing blood, that accomplishes all that. And when we get baptized, that's what we're saying. We're saying it's through faith in Christ and what he's done for me that I am clean. Pastor Lee Strobel tells about a baptismal service he had recently in his church, and he writes this. We told people before they came up to the platform to be baptized to take a piece of paper, write down a few of the sins they had committed, and fold the paper. Then when they came up to be baptized, to take that paper and pin it to a large wooden cross that had been placed on the platform. Because the Bible says our sins are nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ and fully paid for by his death. Then after doing that, come to the pastor to be baptized. A woman who was baptized in one of those baptismal services wrote a letter, and this is what she said. I remember my fear. In fact, it was the most fear I can remember in my entire life. I wrote as tiny as I could on that piece of paper the word abortion. I was so scared someone would open the paper and read it and find out it was me. I wanted to get up and walk out of the auditorium during the service. The guilt and fear were that strong. When my turn came, I walked toward the cross and I pinned the paper there. I was directed to a pastor to be baptized. He looked me straight in the eyes, and I thought for sure he was going to read this terrible secret I had kept from everybody for so long. But instead, I felt like God was telling me, I love you. It's okay. You have been forgiven. I felt so much love for me, a terrible sinner. It's the first time I ever really felt forgiveness and unconditional love. It was indescribable. And then she says this. If you have inside of you a secret sin that you wouldn't even want to write down on a piece of paper out of fear somebody might open it up and find out, let me tell you something about the Jesus I know. Not only does he want to adopt you as his child, he wants to lift the weight of guilt off your shoulders. We can tell anybody, anytime, that we got clean by trusting in Jesus. But listen, there will never be a more effective moment for you to say that than when you're being taken down beneath the waters of baptism. What a powerful picture it is. I'm trusting in the death and the resurrection of Jesus to make me right in God's eyes. And that's all I'm trusting in. Not my church membership. Not my good deeds, not the way I treat my wife or children, not the way I treat my husband, not the way I do such a good job at work, not the way I'm involved in charities and organizations that are trying to help people. No, I am trusting in nothing to get me into God's heaven except the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's all I'm trusting in. And that's what happens when we get baptized. That's our statement. That's what we're saying, and we're saying it powerfully with that picture of being taken down beneath the waters and being raised again. We get baptized as a way of saying that only Jesus can wash away our sin, our guilt, and our shame. And guess what? That is what the Christian life is all about. It's about believing that Jesus is the Savior, and it's about letting people know there's only one way they can be made clean. And that is through trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior and risen Lord. And then lastly, we get baptized as a way of publicly professing that we are not ashamed of Jesus. It's a way of publicly professing that we are not ashamed of Jesus. Baptism has always been a public act. There's no account of private baptism in the Bible. Baptism is always public. Not even Philip's baptizing of the Ethiopian eunuch was private. When that eunuch came to Jerusalem from Ethiopia, he was a high-ranking official of the government. There would have been surrounding him a detachment of soldiers, many soldiers. They all watched as this man was baptized. There is no such thing as private baptism in the Word of God. We must be baptized before people. We must make our confession before people. Why? Well, Jesus makes it very clear in Mark 8:38. He says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory with the holy angels. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me on earth, then I will be ashamed of you. We don't want Jesus to be ashamed of us, so we want to let people know that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And since we get baptized in the name of Jesus, we get baptized because Jesus commanded us to, we get baptized because we're following his example. When we are baptized, we're glorifying the name of Jesus. And when we are not ashamed of Jesus, other people benefit. When we are not ashamed of Jesus, other people are blessed. Other people benefit. Pastor Steve Yeschek of Crystal Lake, Illinois, lost his sister Judy after a 5-year battle with cancer. Pastor Steve describes his sister Judy as a party animal. She partied and partied most of her life, and people loved her because she exuded this enthusiasm, this excitement for life. And Steve says that on numerous occasions throughout her life, he would talk to her about Jesus and she would laugh it off and go right back to partying until she turned 42 years of age. And when she turned 42 years of age, her life changed dramatically. First, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Second, and within a very short period of time, her husband was diagnosed with cancer. And then after dealing with those two very hard blows, she found out that her husband was having an affair. And when it came to light, he told her he didn't love her anymore, and he walked out. He left her. And so at the age of 42, she started asking very serious questions. She asked eternal questions. And she made the decision to trust her heart, her life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that moment until her death, Jesus became her priority. And she lived the Christian life with all the gusto with which she had lived life as an unbeliever. She loved telling people about Jesus. And she boldly declared her faith through three surgeries, all the while praying that Jesus would miraculously heal her. But then she came to understand that the greater miracle would not be her healing. The greater miracle would be if her friends and family came to know Jesus as she had done. And so, struggling for breath, she managed to talk her way out of the hospital 10 days before her death so that she could be baptized and declare her faith in Jesus. And for her baptismal service, she didn't only invite people she knew at that stage of her life, she invited everybody she had ever known throughout her life to come to her baptismal service, and many, many of them did. And on the night that she was baptized, she powerfully shared her faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit. She shared her faith with urgency. And that night, her 84-year-old father came to faith in Jesus and was baptized, along with her ex-husband and her sister and many of her nieces and her college roommate, who was now, at that time, a follower of the New Age movement, and several other people as well. 10 days later, Judy died, but when the pastor read the message that she had written for her own funeral service, 100 more people prayed to receive Jesus as Savior. Baptism is hard, but it is probably the easiest opportunity we will ever have to be a witness for Jesus. You know why? Because when people come to your baptismal service, they know you're not going to talk about the weather. They know you're not going to talk about politics or sports or fashion. They know you're going to talk about Jesus. You're in a church. You're being baptized. What else would you talk about? So you don't have to break the ice. You don't have to say, "Now, I know I haven't talked to you about God before, but now I'd like to talk to you about God." No, they already know that when they come to your baptismal service. So it's probably the easiest moment we will ever have to share our faith in Jesus. It's not easy because you're going to get dunked in water. That's embarrassing. But as far as an opportunity to share your faith in Jesus, it's probably the easiest moment that you will ever have. We get baptized to show people we're not ashamed of Jesus. And again, what's the Christian life all about? It's living a life that makes it clear that we are not ashamed of Jesus. Because when we're not ashamed of Jesus, Jesus says to God the Father, "You see him, you see her, that's my child." That's what the Christian life is all about. And that's why baptism is a window into the Christian life. So we've been talking about that question that toddlers love. Why? We've been talking about why we should be baptized, and we've looked at four reasons. But right now, I think there's a far more urgent question than why. And the more urgent question is, why not? If you are a believer in Jesus, I want to ask you this question. If you have not been baptized, why not? Why not? Now, listen, I know that people have reasons for not being baptized, and I am not going to stand here and diminish those reasons. I'm not going to say those reasons are not real. You may have real reasons. You may have serious reasons for why you have not yet been baptized, but I only want to ask you this. Please ask yourself this question. are my reasons for not being baptized more powerful, more important than my reasons for being baptized? Why should we be baptized? Why should we be baptized? We should be baptized because the one who asked us to do this gave his life for us. He died on the cross that we might have new life, that we might be set free, that we might be cleansed, that we might be made new, that we might have a relationship with God. And he bore our sin, our agony, our death, our spiritual death. He endured everything we deserve. And now he asks us, would you please follow me in being baptized? Would you stand up in front of people and say, I believe the death and resurrection of Jesus is the only way to God, and I have experienced that in my life, and I want everybody to know I am not ashamed of Jesus. He was not ashamed of us when he hung on the cross because he endured all our wrong, all our guilt and shame. He displayed all the horrible things you and I have done as he hung there on the cross. He was not ashamed to do that. How can we be ashamed to stand up for him and say, it's Jesus who's made me clean? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, thank you for what we have the privilege of doing when we get baptized. We will never be able to pay you back, not even a billionth, not a trillionth, not any degree at all. We will never be able to pay you back for what you did for us, but there are things we can do. We can live our life for you, and we can obey you. We can follow your example. We can get baptized in your name and tell people we are not ashamed. Lord God, I pray that if there's anyone here today who hasn't done this and who's feeling that this is something he or she needs to do, I pray, Lord God, that you'd help them to know that we would love to help them do that in a way that would be good for them, in a positive way, in a way that would be respectful of the circumstances that have made it so hard for them to be baptized. We don't want to make things hard for people. We just want to enable people to be obedient to you. So, Lord God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, and if there's anyone who has not been baptized and who feels your Spirit now speaking to them, I pray that they would have the courage to say, yes, I'll do that. I will follow the example Jesus set. I will obey his command. I will lift up his name and say, it's in Jesus' name I'm being baptized, and I'm not ashamed. Lord, give us the strength. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.